stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett. This is episode 65 and May of 2022. And today our guest is a talented artist, a teacher extraordinaire, and a compassionate humanitarian and director at Beckley Dance Theater, Mr. Jerry Rose. Welcome.
Thank you, Wayne. Very glad to be here with you.
You were a World War II baby, weren't you?
I was, 1941.
Tell us a little bit about your mom and dad. I haven't heard a lot about them.
Well, they were interesting people. They were laborers, and my dad worked in the coal mines, so he had a deferment. He didn't go away during the war. My mother worked in a dry cleaning plant. They were very good union people. I remember that. I knew the name of John L. Lewis when I was very young because they thought he was up there with the Trinity, almost. My dad would leave early in the morning at around 4 o'clock. Of course, I was not up at that time, but I can still hear my mother saying, "Be careful, Starnes." And I remember his lunch bucket being packed and filled with water, and I'd like to, when he would come home in the evening, I would like to drink the water that he didn't drink, just to be...
They used to carry the water in the top of
their
bucket.
That's right. Actually, I think it was in the bottom of the
bucket. Oh, okay.
And then there was a shelf sort of that fit in, and this lunch was on top.
What, do you remember the name of the coal mines or coal company?
He worked at Amigo, I know that. I remember hearing that.
Yeah. Actually, it was your dad that kind of introduced you to dance, wasn't it?
It was. And theater and music, because he had a great interest in musical movies. And he took me to see just almost everything. And I remember Meet Me in St. Louis and so many other things. And I used to do shows in the living room for my folks.
Really?
Yeah, before I ever had any training. But I just liked to sing and dance like I had seen on TV. And actually, in Oklahoma was one of the movies that I did see. And I don't know if he took me to see that. I think I was a little older. I probably went myself. But I worked with one of the stars in that movie later. And his name is Gene. Anyway, Gene and I became friends. We toured together later, and he was a childhood idol. I loved to see him dance, and so Dad did have a lot to do with who I am today.
Now, where did you live exactly?
I lived on LaRue Avenue. It's in East Beckley.
So you're an old Sylvia boy.
I'm a Sylvia boy. I went eight years at Sylvia Grade School, and
Cecil Miller
was the principal. I really liked him, and some of my fondest memories of academia are with him. I did win a Golden Horseshoe, as at that time I was a good history student, and I think he was proud too. He took me to the ceremonies in Charleston, and I remember his wife as well. They lived in Lower Raleigh Heights.
Yeah. Cecil was there when I was there, and he coached the sixth grade basketball team, and he was also the mayor of Beckley at that time.
He was. I sort of remember that now that you mentioned that. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, it was a part-time job, and he was a principal and a mayor, and you mentioned the Golden Horseshoe. The first time I ever went to Charleston was trip that Cecil Miller took us to Charleston for the Golden Horseshoe.
So you were a Golden Horseshoe?
I didn't win a Golden Horseshoe, but I took the test.
Oh, okay.
And I was one of the few that from our school that didn't win, but he let everybody go. But so you had some Miss Williams and Cottle and some of them probably as
well,
teachers.
The people that you mentioned, no, I didn't. You're younger than I am.
Okay.
I had Miss Hedrick.
Miss Hedrick.
And Miss Bailey. Nora Bailey and Miss Collie.
Collie was...
I remember her. My first grade teacher, I don't remember, but Mrs. Oakes was my second grade teacher, and she taught us 39th Psalm.
Did you have pretty normal childhood?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
When did you get started in dance? I mean, actually...
No, I had a friend that I went to Sylvia with. His name was Jimmy Phillips, and he danced at Mrs. Beard's school in the Memorial Building. And they had ballroom dance classes, and he told me about that. And I thought, well, that sounds fun. I'd like to go and learn how to dance so that I can go to parties and dance with girls. And I took that class, and I did exceptionally well. So Mrs. Beard offered me a scholarship to come and take the stage arts classes like tap and ballet. And so I did that. And that's how I got started, through Jimmy Phillips, wherever he is.
Well, how old were you?
I was in the eighth grade, actually. Seventh or eighth grade, I think.
We were talking Miss Emma Beard, and that was the only dance school in...
No, there were others. There was another. There was Betty Schulte. She also owned the flower shop, Beckley Cut Flower. Later, Susie Odie had a school. She was a student of Mrs. Beard's, and she opened a school. But Mrs. Beard was the mainstay at that time.
A lot of younger people don't realize that the old Memorial Building was the place where the plays and musicals
right.
and things was put on. And
right.
before it became the YMCA, they had seats, wooden seats on the balcony and the bottom. And I remember the first show that I ever went to there was the Lincoln Elementary Minstrel.
And that was probably the first show, my first show business directed by, I can't think of her name right now, it's coming, but anyway.
Well, I had a neighbor, Harry Poling, was in that show, and that's why I went. And then later, of course, this wouldn't be legal now, but later, Sylvia School, they took the students, I think I was in about the sixth grade, and we walked from Sylvia School to the Memorial Building and watched the Passion play before Easter.
That's fantastic.
And of course they wouldn't do that now. But
No, but that was a really good trek.
Yeah.
It really was.
But we were tickled to death just to get out of school.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were.
But now, is that where you met your wife, Sherry?
No, well, at the dancing school.
Yeah.
Yes, she was a student there, and of course she was far more advanced than I was, still is. And later, when we were in Beckley College together, Mrs. Beard sent Sherry and me to Princeton, West Virginia. I taught ballroom dancing over there and in the Memorial Building in Princeton, and Sherry taught children tap and ballet. And we weren't a couple at that time, but we knew each other. As a matter of fact, she was pinned at that time to a man who became my personal attorney right now. So that started our romance and our life together, which has been, we've been together about 65 years.
Wow, that's great. Now, what was her maiden name?
Evans. And her dad owned Beckley Wrecking. Buddy Evans.
Oh, okay.
Buddy and his more famous sister, Louise Crook.
I
don't know if you know Louise Crook.
She
was one of Beckley's characters. And a very engaging personality and very exploitive of the time. She was a driver in a Powder Puff Derby. She was a mechanic. She was everything. And extremely well-spoken and had fabulous handwriting, I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
I can remember her looking at my car one time and she came out in coveralls and smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Louise. That was Louise.
But yeah. Now, let's go back. When you went to high school, what are some of the things you were involved in high school?
Well, I was in the band.
Glenn Selleck.
With Glenn Selleck, who was one of the major influences of my life. I learned discipline from him in the arts and actually how to deal with other people because he commanded respect. Nobody in my life that I can really think of commanded more respect than Glenn Selleck. Everyone deferred to him, and I give him all the thanks, and I appreciated what he did for me. Also, he taught me well. I became a pretty proficient player of the tuba, is the sousaphone, actually. Learned a lot about organizing people in a big space, which as a choreographer I have had to do all my life. I never worked with as many as he did in one. He would stage shows for 130 people on the football field. That really gave me a good start in managing dancers on stage.
They went to Chicago, played in front of professional games.
And Miami.
I think they went to the Orange Bowl back when that was a trip.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And I've seen videos there. They were magnificent. And, you know, that's the only word you can use. It gives me chills to see 130 people executing such intricate formations and playing so beautifully. And he was a genius and an artist. He was one of my favorite people in life.
Were you involved in did they have school plays back then?
Or? They did. And the only really dramatic play I was in, my English teacher, Mrs. Vask, cast me in a play, and it only had three characters in it, Chippy Newman and Peggy Richmond and myself. Now, Peggy is still around. I see her once a month. My class has luncheons all the time. Chippy is married to famous actor David Selby, who was Quentin Collins on Dark Shadows. And we've crossed paths several times since then because David and I worked together for years in Hunting the Rock, and we became friends and still are friends. And in this play, I still remember doing it at the Woman's Club as well as at Woodrow. Chippy was my new wife because I had amnesia and I had been married formerly to Peggy Richmond. But when Chippy came on stage dressed in all this makeup and very flamboyant outfit, I still can remember I could hardly keep from laughing. So that was my first dramatic role in life.
You mentioned Mary Vass. She was, and I've said this on previous programs, she was my 12th grade English teacher.
Right.
And it was near the end of the 12th grade, and a lot of the other students were talking about, you know, going where they were going to go to school and this and that. And I was in a pretty advanced class, not that I was advanced, but we had three or four valedictorians in our class. And anyway, it was in the spring, and I was seriously thinking about going into the Air Force because I came from single parent family, didn't have a lot of money. But it was during the Vietnam time, and I wasn't sure I wanted to go into service. So I was, she asked me, she said, "Well, Wayne Bennett, what are you going to do when you get out of school?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I said, I'm thinking about going to the Air Force, but I really don't want to, but I don't know." And she said, "Well, you need to go to college and study English because you'd make an excellent English teacher. Don't take phys ed, be an English teacher." And I did. That's all it took was that. And I never got to thank her for that. It just kept putting it off. No, but I have. There are some other teachers that influenced me that I did contact later and thanked them for the influences they had. But Mary Vass was she was the one that kind of got me, and I got a degree in English. And
wonderful.
That's where
she did an excellent job with Macbeth.
Yeah.
It made a huge impression on me, and I've done several pieces, right now one that I still use every year, Witches, that came from that study of Macbeth. And so I thank her for so many things. She was an excellent teacher. I was just glad I had her instead of the alternative teacher, because I never had to stay after school and do spelling lists, which Mrs. Porter all had all her students do. So we were lucky not to have Mrs. Porter. But she, too, was an excellent teacher.
Mm-hmm. You graduated in class of 1959.
Yes.
Now, you were voted the most talented, I think, during I think that so. Class. Yes. However, it's kind of funny, the best dancer was Betty Greer.
Yes. She's still a friend of mine. Well, let me just say this. You weren't allowed to take two things. I also got that. So I chose the most talented. Betty's very talented in both ways as well. We're still very good friends. We speak together a couple of times a week. She lives in Florida now. And we hope to see her soon in our next reunion, which will be in 2000. It's not a reunion, actually. Yes, it's the reunion. Our class does something strange. We have a birthday party. Every big milestone, we just had our 80th birthday party.
Really?
So that's it great. Is our, yes. So 2024 is our next reunion. So I hope to see Betty then. So.
Do you remember this description? Artistic dancer, persuasive romancer.
Romancer. Yeah, I think I fulfilled it both.
That was underneath your picture
yes,
in the yearbook.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
Now, you say you were helping, when you graduated, you were helping Miss Beard, and you and Sherry were going to Princeton and teaching classes. Your first professional gig, though, was Honey in the Rock.
It was.
How did that come about?
Well, do you know, the West Virginia Historical Society came into being, and Kermit Hunter wrote the play, Honey in the Rock, and we were in the original cast, and Maggie Newman was not listed as the choreographer, but honestly, she was. She was a member of the Paul Taylor Company, which is a very famous company back in that day.
I've heard of June Taylor.
Yeah, well, they're not related.
Okay.
But Paul Taylor, and we had other, and I'll mention this if the conversation goes along that way, some other connections with Paul Taylor. But Maggie influenced me greatly because she was my first influence in modern dance. And she was just the most wonderful person. And as far as I know, I spoke with her a couple of years ago. She's well into her 90s and she still teaches at NYU. Just a very extraordinary person. And the other connection that I was speaking about is one of my boys, Peter Frame, became principal dancer of the New York City Ballet. There was a ballet called Episodes that Martha Graham and George Balanchine collaborated with back in the 60s, and Paul Taylor danced the lead in it. Well, my boy, Peter Frame, whom I loved, and he is no longer with us, was chosen by Mr. Balanchine to do that role. So he was coached by Paul Taylor. So they became very close. Anyway, Honey in the Rock started so many things. Actually, Sherry and I worked together in that show, as many of the local dancers did. But there were other dancers that were brought in from New York City to dance with us. And they became an influence in my life. And they talked to us and persuaded us that we needed to leave and come to New York and take our chances auditioning. And that's what happened years ago. Today, dancers go to college for dance. In those days, if you went to college to dance, it meant you weren't a dancer. It meant that you wanted to teach. So at that point, we didn't want to teach. We wanted to perform.
Now, was Yul Cornet...
He was not in the first.
He came later. And there was a Benjamin guy that
came. He came later as
came
well.
Later too. They,
now, who was in the first cast? Chris Sarandon, who became a very well-known actor in Hollywood, and David Selby.
Yeah.
And they were both friends of mine.
Who was the director of the
whole? Dean Goodsell was his name. And Dean was a very, we would say, he had a lot of affectations as a director, one of these people who wore a coat in a certain style. Of course, directors looked like everybody else today. They wear jeans and sweatshirts, but not Dean. Dean always dressed with an ascot and drove a Mercedes convertible to rehearsal. And so he was quite a, he had the aura of theater, which is kind of fun. I like that. I like that. I like that period. I do. I guess I'm a product of that period. Maybe I don't look it now because I don't drive a Mercedes, nor do I wear ascots. So.
Well, now you were invited to go to New York, and you and Sherry aren't married at that
time. No, we're not married at that time.
So you go together, and
yes,
you were involved with the New Jersey Cirque. Was that?
We did. Yes, that came later after we auditioned for that.
Okay.
But going to New York was a big, it was a big situation because we were not married at that time. So going back to Louise Crook. Louise Crook was assigned to go with us to make sure Sherry had a respectable place to live. And she lived in a hotel for women. And I lived in the Lancaster Hotel, which was a few blocks away from this hotel for women. And I can't remember. Of course, it's only been 60 years ago. But I can't remember the name of that hotel. But anyway, Louise had to go to make sure everything was hunky-dory. And we went to auditions. We went to a lot of auditions for so many different things in New York. That's what dancers do.
Are your actors. Parents supporting you some then? Or how do you actually...
They were. Them? The parents were supporting us. And we also had money that we had saved from dancing in our first professional gig. We did audition a lot. And we were lucky. We got a job pretty quickly. I remember one interesting thing about that time we spent in New York. Of course, you don't expect anybody in New York City to ever hear from Beckley, West Virginia. But while we were there, there was a huge snowstorm in October in Beckley, West Virginia. It was on the front page of the New York Times.
Wow.
And I talked to our folks, of course, frequently, not every day because it was expensive long distance, but we did talk to them. They Sherry's parents moved in with her grandmother, and my parents, luckily at that time, we still had a coal furnace. It was a big furnace in the basement where you shoveled and fed that, and it heated, it had ducts to all parts of the house. And so they were pretty warm, but it was interesting to see our town in New York City.
Was that the first time you'd ever been to New York City?
Oh, no. We'd both been there for several different occasions, not even together, but
yeah.
We had been there with Mrs. Beard.
So you weren't exactly bumpkins.
No. Well, I don't know. I think we were pretty much bumpkins, but it was kind of fun to be bumpkins.
How long
I remember,
were you there?
We lived in Manhattan about 6 weeks before we got a job. And it wasn't the job we wanted. We wanted to stay in Manhattan, but we got a job in New Jersey with the Ballet Cirque, which was a resident company in Plainfield, New Jersey. And all of the actors, not all of the actors, all the dancers lived in, excuse me, in a Victorian mansion that was built in, I think, 1863, had a carriage house out back.
Wow.
It was very interesting. A ballroom in the house. It was very, it was good. And we rehearsed every day in class every day and danced. It was exactly what we wanted to do. That's when we got married.
Now, the company, they moved, didn't they? Or is that when you came back?
No, that's when we left them because the company moved to Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
And my wife has a, had a little fear in her heart of strange places. So she wasn't the kind of person who would go out of the country. So we thought it would be best to come back here.
Uh-huh.
So we did.
Listen, can I get you back?
Oh, of course.
I'm enjoying this, and we're going to have to stop. And love to get you back. And anyone else out there who would like to be on our show, you can contact me at awbennett50.com. @gmail.com. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. And this is Wayne Bennett. Thank you.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I'm always